Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Well, greetings to our Beacon Broadcast listeners today. Thank you for joining us on this Wednesday, June 17. We want to continue talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ as described for us by the Apostle Peter, inspired as he was by the Holy Spirit of God when he wrote in 2 Peter 3:10, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." And he tells us of the certainty of Christ's coming. He will come again, despite whatever the critics and the scoffers may say to the contrary. And furthermore, he will come unexpectedly. Nobody's going to be able to figure out the day nor the hour. When he comes, it will be unannounced. It will be unexpected. He's going to surprise most people. He's going to come as a thief in the night. And therefore, you have to be prepared at all times if you are wise. Yes, he's coming suddenly and unexpectedly, and he's coming harmfully for the unprepared. Not for those who are prepared, but for those who are unprepared, the second coming of Jesus Christ is not going to be a blessed event. It's going to be an unmitigated disaster for them. And that's what the text goes on to tell us, and we'll look at it in just a moment. Thank you for joining me on this Wednesday, June 17, and thanks for remembering that we depend upon the gifts of our radio listeners. Well, let me read the whole text again. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up." So how is Christ coming? Suddenly, unexpectedly. How is Christ coming? Harmfully for the unprepared, but not harmfully for those who are prepared. There's going to be a clear demarcation, a great distinction. One of the difficulties in the day in which we live is that many times it is hard to tell the true believers from the counterfeits. No marvel. Jesus said it would be that way. Remember in the parable of the wheat and the tares, the farmer sowed the good seed in the field, the wheat, that grew up, but tares grew up alongside it. And somebody said, "Where do these come from?" And he said, "An enemy has done it." That, of course, is Satan, the enemy. And where is Satan's greatest success? It is sowing counterfeit Christians among the real Christians. Now, we Christians tend to help him do his work and contribute to the problem because of a lot of things, because of careless methods of evangelism, which are not true to the Word of God, and because of poor churchmanship, not conducting our churches in the way that the Bible tells us they ought to be conducted. There are a lot of things we do to help the adversary of men's souls sow counterfeit seed alongside the genuine. But in spite of everything that we could do, if we did it all exactly right according to the Bible, we'd still have some tares among the wheat. Jesus said so. And when you study the New Testament, you realize that even Jesus had one tare among the 12 apostles. He knew who he was, but he let him stay there. He had a purpose for him, but he didn't root him out. He let him expose himself when he betrayed Christ, and then he revealed himself to be what he truly was. And you go through the book of Acts and read about the various people who came to embrace Christ. And though the indication is that the majority of them were genuine, there were a few that weren't. Ananias and Sapphira were not genuine born-again believers, and they revealed the true nature of their hearts. And Elymas the sorcerer is another one. And who was the similar guy in Samaria? I don't think that was Elymas. That was somebody else in Samaria who was a counterfeit. And on it goes. You'll find various counterfeits. You'll find a number of them referred to in the epistles of Paul, people who seemed genuine, but then in the passing of time demonstrated themselves not to be genuine, like Alexander the coppersmith, who has done me much wrong. The Lord repay him according to his deeds, said Paul. And you get to the book of 1 John, and you find that John had the same experience, and he talked about those who went out from us. They had to have come into us in order to be able to go out from us. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that it might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Here were people who for a while seemed to be just like the true born-again believers. They were part of the fellowship, part of the church, worshiping and serving right alongside genuine saints of God, but it turns out that they were counterfeit. And that became clear in the passing of time. But some of those will not be made clear until the end of time. Jesus said, shall we root out the tares out of the field? This is terrible, these tares growing up alongside the wheat, and you can hardly tell one from the other. Shall we go in there and inspect them carefully and root them out? And Jesus said, no, don't do that, lest you damage the genuine wheat. That kind of activity will probably cause you to do damage to some true children of God who are nevertheless weak. No, don't do that. Just leave them alone. If they manifest themselves by their ornery behavior, then of course you not only can but must deal with them. That becomes a disciplinary matter, and the Scriptures give us instructions for that. But some of them will never manifest themselves. They'll go on to the end of time. But at the end of time, the angels of God will come and will take away from the field those who are tares and throw them into the fire. And this is talking about that day, isn't it? 2 Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up, gathered into piles, thrown in the fire. So how will Jesus come? He'll come suddenly and unexpectedly, like a thief in the night. How will Jesus come? He will come harmfully for the unprepared. What a disaster. But for those who are prepared by saving faith in Christ, his coming will be nothing but a blessing. Those who are prepared by living in expectation of his return will find this to be a great blessing. Here's the way Paul put it in 1 Thessalonians 5:1 and following. But concerning the times and the season, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. There it is again. Same language, same picture, same analogy. For when they say peace and safety, then suddenly destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. That sounds very much like what Peter told us in 2 Peter 3:10. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You see, the description thief in a night doesn't apply to everybody. It applies to the unbeliever, some of whom are professing believers. They're counterfeits, they're hypocrites, but nevertheless, they are unbelievers. It applies to them. But you are sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Yes, it will come disastrously, unexpectedly and disastrously for those who are not prepared. But for those who are living in expectation of his return, which could be at any moment, it will not be a disaster. It will be a blessing. And we live in expectation of his return, not by calculating the time. I'm living in expectation of the second coming of Christ by figuring out when it'll be. No. No one knows the time, not even Jesus. Mark 13:32, check it out. Now, we leave the time with God, but we watch. We watch for his return. We watch with eager expectation. We watch by faithfully serving him so that when he comes, we will not be ashamed at his coming. We watch by examining our hearts and lives and by confessing our sins and asking him to cleanse us and to root them out of our lives. We watch by faithfully doing the task that he has assigned to us. We watch by occupying until he comes, that is, by being busy doing the work that he gave us to do right up until the time of his return. Most of us will pass from this life into the presence of the Lord before that return comes, but there is a generation of Christians who will be alive on planet Earth at the time that Jesus Christ comes. And for them, it will be indeed a blessed event. The second coming of Jesus Christ is a time of victory, of joy, of reward, of vindication. God's people take an awful lot of abuse and ridicule and even persecution and martyrdom down through the years, and in some parts of the world today, there's a great deal of that going on, a lot more than gets reported in the press. Once in a while, we'll read about some activity where some extremist group, in our day usually Muslim extremist group, will capture a bunch of Christians and take them off and behead them. We saw an awful video that was circulated to that very event not too many months ago. Horrible thing. That's just the tip of the iceberg of what is actually going on. Most of it doesn't get reported in the press. Our brothers and sisters in Christ in some parts of the world, in parts of the world where people of other religions besides Christianity are the dominant force, and those that are extremely hostile to Christianity and determined that they are going to force others to convert to their religion or die, that's your choice, either convert or die. To be true to Christ in that day costs a great deal. It can cost you your life. For those, the second coming of Jesus Christ is going to be a wonderful day, not only of preservation, but of vindication. Now we'll see who has the truth. Now we'll see who has the power and the glory and the kingdom, who's going to rule and reign in this world. It's not going to be those who are following a false prophet. It's going to be those who are true to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the coming of Christ is going to be a wonderful event for those who are looking for his coming, because by faith they believe he's coming and they are preparing themselves accordingly. But for everybody who's unprepared, it's going to become as a thief in the night, and all of the destruction that thieves often inflict, particularly if they break into a place when nobody is there, they may inflict a great deal of damage. It's not going to be a pretty sight for those who reject the Lord Jesus. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.